I'll never be the same again. The kids sang about it this morning. I think maybe the first song. What a glorious day. Changes everything. And I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day. You know the song? Yeah, you heard it? I'll never be the same. That's what happens, folks, when you encounter the risen Lord. You'll never be the same. Ever. I read you this passage out of John chapter 20 this morning. Today, I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. And we're going to look, the bulk of our time, not looking at the Easter story. And I know that sounds maybe sacrilegious on Easter, not to focus on the Easter story, but I want to do a little bit of a comparison, okay, to another resurrection. But in this what I read you earlier out of John chapter 20, one of the things that I want us to pick up on is, first of all, they went to the tomb and Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't there. He is risen. And what they saw in the tomb, it's funny because John is the author, right? He wrote this. And he is often called the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And it's kind of cool how he does this. He wants to say, I was the one that was first, but he doesn't want to be real arrogant to say that. So he says it like this. So Peter and the other disciple, well, actually he goes back. He says, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, by the way. That's me. I'm not going to boast on it, but he did love me. And then it goes on. It says, so Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. Didn't want to say, I was faster than Peter. Me, John, I won. I'm the winner. It's so funny, but when they got there, John stopped at the door because he had gotten there first, right? He stopped at the door, and he was just in amazement and shock and just what happened here. Peter got there. He didn't even stop. He didn't pass go. He didn't collect $200. He went right into the tomb and went in there. And what did they see? They saw grave clothes. I've entitled this sermon, and I don't have a lot of notes today, so y'all just going to have to, we'll see what happens here. I've entitled it, though, The Grave Clothes. The grave clothes. All that was left in there were the grave clothes. The linen strips were laying there, and the wrap that had been around his head was neatly folded and laying there. But Jesus wasn't there. He had risen from the dead. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, to turn back to John chapter 11. Okay, now this is just not too long before all of this happened. Jesus was headed somewhere in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. You see, Lazarus, there's Mary and Martha and Lazarus, brother and sisters, okay? And they were real close friends with Jesus, and they ministered together and ministered to one another quite frequently. And the backstory here is that Lazarus got sick. Matter of fact, Lazarus died. Right before he died, Mary and Martha, they sent word to Jesus. Jesus, the one you love, Lazarus, is sick. Don't you love how this phrase keeps coming up? The one you love, the one, the beloved, the one whom Jesus loved. The one you love, Jesus, is sick. Come quickly. And Jesus tarried 4 more days before he came. There's a whole other sermon there about why 4 days, and we've talked a little bit about that in the past, and we'll talk about that again in the future, I'm sure. But 4 days represented, you know, after 3 days, it was kind of a tradition that the body needed to be in the ground 3 days before anybody really believed, because after 3 days, they believed the spirit was then departed, and that after 3 days, the person was really dead, right? So Jesus showed up, and in verse 17, it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know. I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Peter said, Jesus said to her, I am. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. While the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have we heard this before? When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. When Mary and Martha said, the one you loved is sick. And now the Jews say, yeah, even Jesus wept at his death. And so we really believe that Jesus did love him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Verse 38. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. A little bit of foreshadowing here, right? Take away the stone, Jesus said. Now here we have a moment. This next verse. Take away the stone, he said. Now Martha and Mary, they were like, I know that even now you can do whatever you ask of the Father, right? I think in my heart that you can do something about this situation. So Jesus says, take away the stone. Then they go, oh, hang on a minute. I think I believe. I said I believe. But dude, it's been 4 days. He's going to stink. That was not the proper translation. Let me see. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. For he has been there 4 days. You see, in one hand, they have hope. In one hand, they have belief. In one hand, they know in their mind that Jesus can do whatever he asked the Father to give him power to do, right? I mean, they've seen him minister. They've seen him do miracles. Even the other Jews said, well, this guy healed the blind man. Couldn't he have also kept this man from dying? And so they knew there was hope, but they really hadn't reached that faith. That crux, that pivotal point in faith that said, yes, yes, roll that stone away because we're about to see something here and I'm excited. They said, oh, wait a minute. I appreciate the sentiment. I even appreciate you crying. I appreciate the fact that you loved him so much, but 4 days. The elements, the natural, the heat, it's been at its work. It's not going to be a pretty sight. It's going to smell if we open up the... Let's not go there. We don't want to do all that. Thank you. Thank you for caring. And I believe that sometimes we get stuck there in our faith. Sometimes I believe we get stuck there with, Jesus, yes, I believe, I know in my heart that you, because I read in the Bible that you died on the cross for my sins and you were buried and laid in the tomb and then you rose from the dead. And I thank you so much for caring. I thank you so much for caring. It really means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. Thank you. But I really don't know if you really are going to do something to change my life. You see, I think some of us are stuck there. I think some of us get stuck there time and time again. And I think if we're all honest, we would all say, yes, I've been there. Even if I'm not there now, I've been there before. This is what needs to happen. We need to say, oh, yes. Here I am. roll that stone away. I know I'm stinky. I know I stench. I've got the smell of death and sin all over me. But roll that stone away because I want to see something. I want to see something. I want to feel something. I want to know something. I want to say beyond a shadow of a doubt that yes. And sometimes we got to see it before we can believe it. Sometimes we're like Thomas. I won't believe until I see it. And then when time came, he didn't need all that proof because he saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If you've seen, if you've experienced our resurrected Jesus Christ, it'll change your life. And you'll never be the same. Ever be the same. How many of you want to be the same? Does anybody in here say, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to stay like this from now on. I'm just good. I really like it. Or think back a few years. Yep, that was me. I wish I could go back there. That was so good. Oh, that was so much fun. Anybody? I mean, there's some good times. We'd like to experience some of those times again, sure. But really, do we want to be the same? Or do we really want the power of Jesus Christ to change us forevermore? Well, it can. It can. It can. The power is there. The use of it is up to you. Here, let me clarify this. The power is there. God says, I am the resurrection. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I can change things. But it wasn't until they rolled the stone away that something happened, right? It's not until Jesus says, I can change your life. I can come and I can give you peace nobody can understand. And when they ask you, where you get that peace from, you just say, I just can't understand it. I can't explain it myself. I just know that Jesus gives it to me. Okay? Jesus can give you that comfort. He can give you the strength. He can give you the peace. He can give you all of these things that you need to honor him in your life. But it doesn't happen until you first submit yourself to him. Doesn't happen until you say, yes, Lord, here I am. I am willing. And by your goodness and by your grace, I'll be able. Okay? The story goes on. Let me find where I left off. Roll away the stone. But Lord, he stinketh. That's the King James Version. He stinketh. Verse 40. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Jesus said, hang on a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let's put a little faith in it. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And he says that to you and me today. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe? I'm not talking about the head knowledge. I'm not talking about what you hear and you understand and you agree with. I'm talking about what you believe in your heart. That's something that comes from deeper inside of you, right? Okay? Sometimes my wife will say, I love you, and I'm like, I know you're supposed to say that. Of course, I love you too, honey. But sometimes I have to stop and I say, no, I really, really mean that. Do you know that? Do you know that I really do love you? Of course, she says, oh, yes, I know it all. You show it to me all the time. You're just so wonderful. You're such a wonderful man. Or something very similar to that. But sometimes we have to have that assurance. Sometimes we have to say, hold on, time out, wait a minute. No, really. No, really here. I do. Love you. And Jesus was saying this right here. He said, no, really. Hang on. Wait a minute. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Next verse says, so they rolled away the stone. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here around me, that they may believe that you sent me. When Jesus had said this, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I love it in the King James Version. Lazarus, come forth. It just sounds so authoritative. Come forth. Lazarus, come out. I don't know. Did y'all know he didn't even say it in English? He probably said it in Aramaic, and I can't really speak Aramaic, so I won't tell you what it sounded like, but he told him, he said, come out of there, Lazarus. Get out. Get out of the dead place. Get out of the tomb. It stinketh in there. Come out of there. Come out here and get some fresh air, buddy. Come on out. Come on out. He said, come forth. The dead man came out, and his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Can you imagine that? I mean, when they wrapped him, they didn't like wrap up this leg and then wrap up this leg and then wrap up this arm. And you know, I mean, they laid him down, then they wrapped all around him. So here comes Lazarus. He's like, come forth, Lazarus. He's like, I'll do the best I can. Can you imagine this sight? I mean, it's like, I'm trying, but my legs are tied together. Lord, I'm coming. Here, I'm coming. Can you imagine? I mean, it was probably, you're laughing. It was probably somewhat comical. Except the people weren't laughing. They were going like, oh, oh my. Oh my God. In a good way. Okay, in a good way. Oh my God. My God is in my presence. The power of God is in the presence of me. He's here, and he has done something in my sight, and I can see it, and I believe with all my heart and my soul right now, because I've seen the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember what I talked to you about a while ago? What did the disciples see when they went into the tomb? Grave clothes. The grave clothes were left there, right? This next verse, the last verse I'm going to read to you right now. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes and set this man free. He's not bound anymore. Set him free. He's alive. Look at him. He's like, yeah, come on, I'm about to fall over. Help me out here. Somebody cut this stinky, nasty, messy stuff off of me. Get the stench off of me. I'm alive. I'm alive. That's good stuff right there. In John chapter 11, Jesus showed that he had the power to resurrect, right, with Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus. And they're like, oh, he really does have the power to resurrect other people. Woo, that's awesome. In John chapter 20, what we read a while ago, Jesus showed that not only he didn't just have the power to resurrect, he is the resurrection. And more than that, he's the life. He is the resurrection. He told, was it Mary or Martha? He told one of the girls, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he showed it in John chapter 20. Because when they went to the grave and he wasn't there, they knew. They knew something had happened here. Now, at first, they were kind of confused, like somebody stole him. Somebody stole a body. What do they do with him? I don't know where they put him. But then when their eyes were opened and they saw the resurrected Jesus, they were like, you truly are the resurrection and the life. Take off the grave clothes. I think it's also important that we notice that, and I've said this before, we don't hear reports of Lazarus that I know of still alive today. Has anybody read that in People magazine? Or do they even make People magazine anymore? I don't know. They do? Okay. Or U.S. News or something. Has anybody heard of old Lazarus 2,000 years later? Is he still... Don't you know he'd be writing books or something and selling them? He'd have him a TV show. Wait, there's more. And you'll buy this and I'll send you this. And wait, there's more. There's an accompanying study with it. Don't you know he would be doing that? Something. But we don't hear of Lazarus. What happened to Lazarus? He had to have died. Don't you think that if he was still alive, people would be talking about him today? Okay, here's the deal. Jesus resurrected Lazarus, but it was only temporary. Lazarus was bound to die again. And quite frankly and honestly, I kind of felt sorry for Lazarus. I mean, I think Jesus called him back out of heaven to come back to earth for a little while, and Lazarus was like, come on, man! Are you serious? Lazarus' resurrection was temporary, but Jesus' resurrection is eternal. Amen. That is the resurrection that he shares with us. What does it mean to be resurrected? Jesus' resurrection is eternal, and he has given that power, the power of that resurrection, for all those who believe in him. And there is no resurrection without Jesus. There is no life without Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus states it very plainly and very simply. He said, you want to go to the Father? Here's the door. I am He. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that is still true today, folks. You can't get there by transcending meditation. You can't get there by having 15 or 12 or 5 or 6 or 2, 1 degrees. You can't get there by studying. You can't get there by knowing the right people. Okay? You can't get there because your mom and daddy were faithful Christians. You can't get there because your uncle was a pastor. You can't get... Come on, folks. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, not even the preacher's kids, no man comes to the Father but by me. It's very personal. You see, you have to experience this power, this resurrection power in your life. I'm going to talk to you just for a few moments about the grave clothes. These stinky. She said, oh, Lord, wait a minute. Oh, don't open the door. Don't open that tomb. It's been 4 days. Surely he stinketh. It stink. Death stinks. Don't you agree? Death stinks. Death stinks. It's stinky in there. Don't open that up. We're going to be sick. We can't take that. That's going to be gross. We don't want that. And Jesus said, hang on, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're going to clean him up. We're not going to leave him stinky. Y'all hear me? That's going to preach to you here in just a second as soon as you get it. He's not going to leave you stinky either. He's not going to leave you stinky. He's going to open up. He's going to give you resurrection. And then he's going to say, now, take those grave clothes off. Take that stench off. Take that the grave clothes of pornography off of you. It don't belong on you anymore. You've been resurrected. Take the grave clothes of squandering your finances on stuff that way you can't provide for your family. Take all that junk off of you because you've been resurrected. Take that addiction, the grave clothes of addiction, off of you because you've been resurrected for all of eternity. Get rid of that junk. It stinks. Leave that in the tomb. Get rid of the grave clothes of that foul speech because that has no place in a resurrected man. Has no place in a resurrected woman. Not somebody that calls herself a Christian. You get rid of that. You lift that stinky dying stuff. You leave that in the tomb. We'll roll the stone back away and leave that sealed up because it stinks. It's nasty. Yeah, it does stink. And we're going to leave it in there. You take off the grave clothes of that bitterness, that anger, that resentment, that unforgiveness. You take those grave clothes off because you have been resurrected for all of eternity. Live like it. Leave the dead stuff dead. Leave the stinky stuff in the grave. Put that stuff away. You've been resurrected. Do you believe it? Do you believe? Do you believe? Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that's what I'm going to ask you this morning. If you need it, it's John 11, verse 25. Can we put that on the screen? Do you mind, Steve? John 11, verse 25. And just leave it up there, because this is good stuff. 25, and actually 26 where it is. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. The next one. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Then he puts it to her. Do you believe this? I'm not Jesus, but I'm going to ask the same question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that if you put your faith and your trust and your belief in Jesus Christ, that He has the power to resurrect you to a new life and you'll never be the same? Do you believe this? It's quite possible that there's somebody here this morning that has never put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. They've never come to this point of this pivotal point, this what do you call that, this crisis point in their faith. Do I really believe this? I know what I read, but has it moved from my head to my heart? I know what I hear and what I read and what I've been taught in Sunday school all my life, but do I really believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus is asking you today, do you believe this? And it's quite possible there's somebody here this morning that has never moved from that head knowledge to that heart knowledge and put in their faith and their trust truly in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, the one who's not in the tomb, the one who's not wrapped up, the one who is alive for all of eternity, and he wants to take you with him. Do you believe in him? And it's quite possible there are others here who have come to this crisis point in their faith at some point and said, yes, I believe. And maybe as a child or maybe as an adult, you've come down and you've took the preacher by the hand, you shook him and said, shook his hand and said, yes, I want to come to Jesus Christ. I put my faith and my trust in him. The preacher said, repeat these words after me. And you did that, and then they said, yay, and everybody clapped, and then they took you to the baptistry. This baptistry that's been empty for way too long, by the way. They took you to the baptistry, and they dunked you in the water, and you came back up, and everybody clapped and said, yay, and you became a member of a church. But really, this never really happened. It stayed in your head. You believed, yes, I believe that this, I believe the words, and I believe what I read, but you've never had it move from your head to your heart. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're like, well, don't wait a minute. Hang on. I do want to come out of the tomb I'm in because it stinks. It stinks in here where I am in this environment. I do have all those grave clothes that Brother Mike talked about a while ago, that stuff. I'm not all the way bad, okay? I don't have all this stuff, but I do have some of these other things. He's even got something that I've even got something he didn't mention. And I won't leave it. I won't walk away from it because it stinks. I want to get rid of it. I want him to take the grave clothes off of me because I am resurrected in Jesus Christ. Maybe that's you this morning. Come on. Maybe that's you this morning. And you need to come to the altar and you need to get with God and you need to say, Lord, here I am. Take all of this nasty old stinky grave clothes off of me and I will stand resurrected in the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe that's you. Here's the question. Do you believe? Only you can answer that question. Your wife can't answer that for you, guys. Your husband can't answer that for you, wives. Kids, your parents can't answer that for you. Parents, your kids can't answer that for you. You have to answer that for yourself. Do you believe? Now, what happens if you do? We know what happens if you don't, right? You go down there. That's what the kids are taught, right? It's the truth. The Bible preaches it. The Bible teaches it. I believe it. The Bible says, Jesus said, remember what he said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Where's the Father? He's in heaven. You want to get to heaven? You got to come through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I heard Phil Robertson on the Duck Dynasty show. My wife loves to watch it. But I heard him outside of the show one time, and he was preaching. He said, some of you in here are saying, well, I'll just take my chance. I'll take my chances. I'm going to take a chance. And he said, you don't have a chance without Jesus. Yeah. And it's the truth. You don't have a chance without Jesus Christ. You don't have a chance without Jesus Christ. That's what this book teaches. That's what this book teaches. But you have to make the decision. Each and every one of you. You can't ride on somebody's coattails. You have to come to that crisis point in your own faith and say, do I believe all this stuff? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. That means even though this old body's going to give out. We buried Maddie Bell Rollins just last week. Sweet. One of the dearest ladies I've ever known in my life. Almost 93 years. Before that, we buried Floyd Lewis. Floyd Rollins is still alive. I'm sorry, buddy. You're still here. But the truth is, Floyd, that there's going to be a someday, if we all live long enough, we're going to be burying you, buddy. But don't laugh. All of you. All of you. Y'all going to be burying me someday. But when that happens, look, I believe in this, where it says, and he who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He will live even though he dies, even though this old body wears out. Even this old body wears out. I just mentioned we've lost some of the Robert Durfee, and there are others, many others. You can name them. Floyd Lewis, Bill Rawlins, and many others. And they've been pillars of this church and this community. Here's the hope. Even though the old body wears out, they will live even though they die. And the same is true for you and me. If we believe in this. If we believe in this, if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, I'm not going to beat it up anymore, because it's time for you to decide. It's time for you to make a choice. You've heard the message. You've heard what I believe is the truth. So help me. I believe and I pray that I have not spoken anything untruthful to you, except that Floyd Rollins is still here with us. But you have to decide. Nobody can decide for you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this knowledge that you have? Maybe you walked in here and you didn't know this stuff. That's great. That's fine. That's okay. But now you do. What are you going to do with it? Maybe you walked in here and you knew this stuff. You just didn't believe it. What are you going to do about it? You going to walk out of here disbelieving it again? Choice is yours. Choice is yours. But I want to tell you, you don't have to walk out of here being an unbeliever. You don't have to walk out of this church headed for hell. You don't have to do that because of what Jesus Christ did on Easter morning. He gave everything for you, but he didn't stop there. He gave everything to you, and then he gained everything to give you. Think about that. He gave his very life for you, but then he gained his life back up. He said, I lay my life down. I take it back up again whenever I want. And he did that so that you would have resurrection power in your life. Are you ready to exercise that resurrection power? Are you ready to say, cut these grave clothes off of me? Cut this stinky stuff off of me. I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. I'm ready to walk free. I'm ready to be. He said, take the grave clothes off of him and set him free. Let him go. Let me tell you something, folks. If you will come to Christ, allow him to resurrect you, cut those grave clothes off of you, and set you free. You don't know freedom until you've had freedom in Jesus Christ. You can clap for that. That's a good one. You don't know freedom until you've experienced the freedom in Jesus Christ, and it only comes through his resurrection. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. Now is your time. You got to decide. Before you walk out of this place, listen, here it is. I'm going to be pretty blunt with you. Either you come and you say, yes, I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want to have the grave clothes cut off of me. Or you walk out of here and you say, I'm not there yet. I don't believe it. I don't believe in that. There is no middle ground. What do you believe? It's time to decide. We're going to sing a song. We're going to have a time of a response. You can come. As the Spirit leads you, if the Spirit's tugging at your heart and he says, you know what? You need to go down there and pray at the altar and get right. Did you come at this altar? Don't you tell him no. Maybe he's coming saying, you need to go down there and talk to the preacher man. And you need to tell him what's going on with you. And y'all need to get squared up and let him show you some scriptures and show you what the word says about how to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And if he's telling you that, you need to follow through with that. Maybe he's telling you that this is a good place and you need to move your membership here and become a part of this fellowship. And if that's the case, you come. We can make that happen too. Whatever it is, this is your time, but you have a decision to make. What are you going to do with it as we sing?